Back here on News Radio KMAN, In Focus continues here on a Thursday morning. We're talking today with Dr. Timothy Schaefer. He's the director of the Institute for Civic Discourse and Democracy at Kansas State University and an associate professor in the Department of Communications. I found it interesting yesterday. I kind of tuned in to the House discussion about the redistricting. Of course, the Senate passed that last week, and now it's going on to the governor. And legislatures across the country are going through this right now to kind of redraw the congressional districts, which is just a standard practice every time you have the census. But this always gets to be kind of an interesting time of year because boundaries change from time to time because populations change. And we've seen some movement here even in Kansas in the big first, which where Manhattan's at.
Yeah, I think here in particularly Kansas, I think there are a few things that are, for some people raising some of those flags about, what are we doing, kind of the alteration, which, as you said, right, happens because of just population shifts. And when we think about having them be as close as possible, try to maintain some degree of uniformity, there's some language. It's not super rigid, right, at the kind of federal level, but there are certain types of things. Usually the default is about 10% variation of populations in most districts when we think about that for congressional districts, for example. Certain states actually have lower thresholds. Colorado and actually Missouri both have considerably lower. Missouri is really low. I think they only have like a 1% variation kind of ask, barring, a few circumstances. But typically, they're not just random, right? They're not just saying, let's slice up Kansas into, to these four quadrants that, look simple in that way. So there is always a little bit of, and I'm not going to say this in a negative way, but kind of manipulation of where do we put this? And that's really what's in question right now is where do those lines go? Some of the significant things is that I think particularly affects this district is the kind of expansion into a few areas that have historically, and this is being referred to as the Ad Astra II map, and that's the one that passed in the House 79-37 on Wednesday, is that now communities that have not been in this district would be, right? So places like, and this is where it gets a lot of attention, Lawrence. If you look at a map, it kind of, there's this little bit that sticks out there. And so it is one of those interesting things to say, what does it mean when we're looking at kind of the coherence of these districts ranging from kind of a dip down, not exclusively into that whole county, but really around Lawrence and to put it into the big first, which, basically goes, as people sitting here know, west and west and west, right, all the way to all of your state borders, to Colorado. And for the majority of our border with Nebraska, for example, and even to the south with Oklahoma. So, those are some of the kind of concerns looking at also, some of the districts that are more around the kind of the suburban Kansas City area that they do some interesting maneuvering, which is largely when we get the terminology of gerrymander. That's what it comes from, this kind of strangely shaped district, which we see across the country. Different states, Ohio a few years ago put a constitutional amendment in against this. There, for that reason, their maps have been rejected a few times. And other states have gone, more easily through this process. But I think Kansas, what's going on here now is not out of the ordinary. But that also doesn't necessarily mean it's, kind of ideal when we start to talk about the coherence of these districts of keeping certain populations somewhat together. So more rural with rural, urban, kind of suburban, those types of things, rather than saying, how do we potentially dilute a certain population that maybe the party that's leading the process doesn't want to have as prominent of a voice in a different district, for example. It can be potentially diluted in another. So that's kind of what we're looking at right at this moment.
I think it's interesting here, and this isn't really being talked about a lot at the state level, but the fact that in our area, you've got it now split here with Manhattan and Junction City in two separate districts if this map passes, at Manhattan being in the first and Junction City now being in the second congressional district.
Yeah, and I think this, back to the comment I made a moment ago, is that sense of how do we, you know, how do we think about and reconcile some of that? You know, one of the things is to say, you know, where is that sense of, quote, I'll use this language here somewhat loosely, but of community, right? And how do we kind of think about that as being as in a default as simple as possible, right? So we're not getting these little kind of slivers, which we do find all sorts of places. You can do a quick search for, you know, the most gerrymandered districts across the country, and you'll find them very interestingly situated. And in fact, I will say, if you're a computer person, there is a font called Jerry that uses gerrymandered districts, actually, because many of them are the shape of a bunch of letters, right? I mean, they're all sorts of shapes. But yeah, I think that becomes a real kind of issue concern, because then all of a sudden we say, what from a regional perspective is helpful, and that may not kind of align with some of these boundaries when we start to look at that too. And so, you know, some of these things get smoothed a little bit, but as this process has been going on, the listening sessions have been happening for a while, but this was just unveiled truly a number of days ago, right? So it's moving quickly through the legal process, you know, as it's getting in front of the Senate now, and then it'll be a question as it kind of goes to the governor. But with the kind of composition of those bodies as they are, I don't know how much variation comes into play here, unless there's some real kind of protesting or otherwise that would you know, maybe slow it down or alter it in some way.
I'm curious. I know that there's a big push in the census here to make sure college students were counted in their college towns, being here in Manhattan and in Lawrence specifically. How much do you think that impacted the way this map was drawn?
You know, I don't want to speculate. I can't tell you what, you know, some of these folks think. What I can say is some really good research, particularly out of Tufts University. Their Institute for Democracy and Higher Education has done some work in these areas to say, how do we increase opportunities for all those who are eligible to vote as much as possible, right? Whether that's college students, whoever it might be. And as, you know, certain kind of demographics, these kind of categories, maybe increasingly utilize the affordances they have as citizens, i.e. to vote, you know, if that is seen as, or perceived as a potential, addition to the, quote, the other side, which I think actually speaks to another thing I want to talk about here, is just this kind of the game of politics, then I think we start to see a little bit more of this sort of thing of like, well, the language I used a moment ago, right? If we want to diminish or dilute some of these voices, then what do we do about that, right? And that would be one take, and it has been. Some people have talked about it that way, that, you know, by putting some of these larger, you know, the Manhattans and the Lawrences, the K-States, the KUs into a bucket that ideologically, seemingly, as we look at it, into the kind of the big first, you know, those seem to be some different camps. And so how do we give everybody kind of voice in those ways and have it be fair? The way that gets interpreted, though, that really varies wildly. And as we know from this process, until we have, the courts or others to step in and say that that's not right. And it's a little bit harder, right? Because if it's around racial lines and things, that's an easier thing to flag and say, nope, you can't do that, because of some of our legislation in the past. If it's not that, then it's a more difficult sort of thing. And I will say too, you know, some of this I think also just feeds into these bad views or these misperceptions. I teach at Kansas State University. I'm in front of students all the time. There's no ideological kind of camp in uniform view. And for those who, you know, sometimes lament of these college towns and others to be just these kind of liberal bastions, that's not my experience here, especially at K-State. That's just not true at all. In fact, I think it skews somewhat the other way. And that's not a problem, but I'm just, you know, highlighting the fact that these kind of categories sometimes get us into a spot that we find ourselves that all of a sudden we're doing some weird things, for advantageous reasons. And the reality is these districts get drawn for a decade, right? So there's some long-term effects that come from this if they go forward as such.
Be interesting to keep an eye on this here, and I think people should keep an eye on this, and hopefully we'll reach out if they have any concerns to their congressman or to their legislators, I should say.
Indeed, yeah.
Well, Dr. Schaefer, it's always good to have you in, and we'll talk again real soon.
It's great to be here. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Stay tuned. We're going to have Robin Cole up next. She's waiting online patiently, and we'll have her from Pawnee Mental Health up next on In Focus.